we're being introduced to the two beasts here. They're what we could call Satan's agents, really. The beast out of the sea. Right, now, what does it mean, the beast out of the sea? Why the sea? Because we've got one coming out of the land next. The beast out of the sea. What do the seas represent?
The Gentile nations.
Nations, yes. The nations. Like, okay, so it's one that's out of the nations. And you'll see in Revelation 12:3, to go back, just we're going to be jumping about a bit, I'm afraid to say. Yeah. Ron mentioned this, that there were seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns and all that. He resembles the dragon, right? So he's a sort of facsimile of the devil. Yeah, so he's the devil's agent representing the devil. You got that. And he's got blasphemous names on his forehead, or on the horns and the head and so on. Blasphemous names means he's making great big claims and things about himself as opposed to God. I want to take you to these, just as a sort of basic summary about it all. I believe these are Antichrist, really. That's what we're talking about. But Antichrist has been coming along for a long time. As John says in his letter, he says, you've heard that Antichrist is coming. Well, we've had a few already. So they're sort of pre-runs. This is the final one here. But I wanted to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul describes him as the man of sin. Yeah. But he's doing exactly the same sort of stuff, as you'll see. It's in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, the man of lawlessness is described. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Right, so yes, I've got to read a bit of it. This, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. So he's talking about Jesus' return. Yeah? I ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That's blasphemy.
Right.
Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. So he hadn't turned up when Paul's writing this letter in this final form. And he's not turned up in this final form yet. So what's holding him back? You know, he says you know.
Church. The Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit, really. God's at work, got the brakes on. Yes. Yeah. And he does it through the church, he does it through all sorts of things. God can work in any ways, but it's the Holy Spirit behind it who's blocking it. It was the same in the days of Noah. Yeah, this is going back a long time. Yes. God says to Noah, he says, my spirit will not always contend with men, for his days are numbered. Yeah? Right, so God says, I'm taking the brakes off, time's running out. Yeah. Right, so, this, verse 7. He'll be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Yeah? But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. That's good to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not a permanent fixture. Good. Right. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie, and so that they will be condemned, so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. He talks about counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders that the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, would call him, is going to perform. Now, when he says counterfeit, does that mean to say they're not real? See, there's more to counterfeit than meets the eye. You can do something. If you read we'll get to Deuteronomy one day. Chapter 18 talks about the prophet that's coming. It's ultimately Jesus, of course. But he says prophets are going to be coming. You can tell a genuine one, because if he makes a prophecy and it doesn't happen, Yeah. Then he's a fake. Yeah. Right? He says, but supposing he does make a prophecy and it does happen. Mm-hmm. And then he says, come and follow other gods. Yeah? You then know he's a fake.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he's done something that's genuine, if he's leading you away, that's counterfeit. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there will be genuine supernatural miracles, mm-hmm. but the intention is to draw them after himself rather than to God.
Yes.
That makes them counterfeits. Yeah? Yeah. So, carry on now then. So, back to this beast. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. That's the nations, yeah? He had 10 horns, 7 heads, and 10 crowns on his horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. If you go to Daniel chapter 7, sorry about this, we will go around a bit. Daniel chapter 7, we meet a beast or two there. Daniel's fourth beast is a very strange one. It's not described really as a beast as such. Chapter 7 of Daniel, right. Daniel has a dream of four beasts. Yeah. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions passed through his mind. Yeah. Yep. At night, he saw all the winds churning up and four great beasts, verse 3. Each different from the others, came up out of the
sea.
It's the nations he's talking about, yeah? Right? The first was like a lion, and it had wings like an eagle, and he watched its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. So the first beast like a lion with wings. Mm. Does that ring any bells in your archaeology? Mm. It's Babylonian.
Yeah?
Right? Okay, just to explain it perhaps helpfully for Chris's benefit, yeah. Daniel describes Nebuchadnezzar having a vision of that statue. Gold at the top, silver, middle, bronze lower, then iron and clay at the bottom, right? And he's told that these are different kingdoms. Top one's gold, second one, which splits into two, is Media-Persia. Right, the next one is Greece, bronze, and then the final one's the Roman. Yeah, and the final kingdom is God's kingdom that smashes it all. Yeah, right. So Daniel doesn't see it as a statue, something magnificent. Daniel sees them for what they are, beasts. Yeah, so he gets visions of beasts. So first one is the lion with the wings of an eagle. Have you ever seen the Ishtar Gate? It's in the British Museum. It's the pictures of it. No,
no.
It's got funny looking beast with wings on there. Babylonian anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's one. And then verse 5. There before me was a second beast which looked like a bear. It raised up one on one side and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth and it was told, go get up and eat your fill of flesh. So this is a lopsided bear. Yeah? Lopsided because it was Greek, was it? Persian and Media. That were a Medo-Persian Empire. The Medos were the little ones, the Persians were the big bits. Yeah, so that's the lopsided empire there, right? After that, before me was another beast that looked like a leopard. Leopards are good for getting around fast. And on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads and it was given authority to rule. That is the Greek Empire. It started under... it was Macedonian, but it's called Greek, yeah? Alexander the Great, yes. And when Alexander the Great died at a very young age, yeah, his kingdom was split into 4 parts. Yes, right, so there you go. This is prophecy, you see. God knows what's going to happen. Right. After that, this is the beast we're after now. After that, in my vision at night, I looked and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot wherever it was, whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And as I looked, thrones were set in place, and so on. But we're going to stop there. That's the fourth beast he's seen, and it's got horns, and all that sort of thing. Now back to Revelation 13. The beast he sees is composite. It's got the bear, it's got the the leopardy type thing, hasn't it? The lion stuff and all that. Right, so it's a composite, but it's like the fourth beast, yeah? And it's blasphemous and all of that thing, and it's got, and the dragon gave the beast power and authority, right? But one of the strange things about it is, it's got, if I can find it, it's verse 2, isn't it? Yeah. No, it's not that bit. I thought I got that one, yeah? Verse 3. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed, and the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. So it looks like it was finished, but it's come back into action again. Now then.
Was it linked with Rome?
It's linked with Rome.
Yeah.
It's definitely linked with Rome.
So,
one of the, in the time when John's writing this letter, the guy called Nero was creating mayhem in the church, and he died. Yeah, so he thought, persecution's finished, that's the end. This is one fulfilment. I'm not saying this is all it's about, yeah? But Nero dies, all nice and quiet for the Christians, yeah? Until Domitian and his mates and others turn up, and we're back to where we're at. So the persecution revives again, yeah? What's going on in the sense is that behind the scenes, Satan is producing a picture of Antichrist that's copying Jesus, because Jesus died and rose again, and so Satan substitutes and makes a fake version of the real thing. Always his tricks, yeah? So that people worship the fake rather than the real. So he's copying Jesus, yeah? But this is a world power, isn't it? It's a world power. It's not like the beasts before, although they were world powers in one sense, because the then known world was all that they ruled.
Would it be because it's a world power linked with the Treaty of Rome, the EEC or the EU, as you call it?
No idea. People got very excited when the European Union formed, and then when the numbers started getting towards 10, they were really excited, and then when they shot over to 22, it sort of upset the ideas.
It's just a bit of a deception.
Yes, it's something. I think it's European powers. What it seems to me, in terms of towards the end time, things begin to focus back onto the Bible scenery of the Middle East and Europe and all the surrounding bits. Yeah. So that's where the focus begins to come, and this is definitely world power, but focused in maybe in Europe or whatever, I don't know. We'll see anyway.
I've got a note here. Daniel had trouble with the fourth beast because he couldn't come up with an annual comparison.
Yes.
And he asked many questions about it.
Yes. Oh. And the problem was that Rome was the biggest empire going, and it included all sorts of weird and wonderfuls. Mm. So to try and describe it as a single beast would be a bit of a job in some ways, yeah. But also this, you remember in the Daniel 7 bit, he talked about one of those little horns that grew up. That's a prefiguring of the Antichrist, again. And in Daniel's day, he was prophesying not about he was prophesying about the end times, of course, but what was coming up was a guy called Antiochus Epiphanes during the Macedonian reign. He tried to wipe out the Jews. He didn't. But the way he did it, it wasn't to destroy the Jews, it was to destroy the Jewish culture. Mm-hmm. So you stop the Jews being Jews. That's basically his plan. Yeah. And he virtually succeeded. It was only the rebellion by Judas Maccabeus and his friends that stopped it. And they introduced the Feast of Purim to follow as a result of that, their cleansing the temple again and so on. But that Antichrist just about succeeded. It was an early version, but it's prophetic of the last one as well. Yeah. Okay, so we've got to there. We're on verse 3 and 4. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he'd given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?" It reminds me. As I say, I'm sure this is future in a sense, but it reminds me of the time when Nebuchadnezzar built the statue. Everybody was compelled to worship it. Mm-hmm. You know, he plonked it on the plains of Jura and had people come. And when the music starts and the orchestra sounds, everybody bows down. Except the three lads. Mm-hmm. Good for them. Yeah.
I've been reading today.
Was it?
Nebuchadnezzar.
All right, yeah. But you got the idea that he's did. What Satan wants is worship. Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah, he wants to be centre of the world or the universe. Yeah.
Then it's not getting a bit lost, is it? So
I'm jumping backwards and forwards in time. That's the problem.
What I was saying it because I can't remember what went before. So are the believers that are still there? If we've gone through the sheep gate and everything, we've still got to listen to God's voice and we'll recognise.
Yes. Well, that comes in. Yeah, believers are still around, in my opinion, right? And as a result, they are being warned about what's coming in order to be able to stand when there's these real challenges.
Carefully, because yes, we know the master's
well, yeah. Yeah. But the world is not going to... Well, essentially what this is saying is the world is not improving. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. It might look good on the outside, but it's going from bad to worse as far as the enemy is concerned, yeah, with his working. Right, so verse 5 now. The beast was... given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. We've come across that number before. 3.5 years, 1260 days. It's the period in which time Antichrist reigns, right? And he creates a lot of problems. Yeah, that's the idea it's on about there. So he's throwing his weight around. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. Right, so he's, well, being rather nasty. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, he's opposing what God is and what he is. Now, it introduces us to two really important concepts. The word Antichrist can have two meanings. Yeah, the word anti can mean two things. It can either mean standing in opposition to, and this is what we have here with the beast from the sea. He is in opposition to God. He blasphemes God. He curses God. He curses what God stands for. He is anti-God. Yeah? And that really is a picture of, I suppose you'd say, of the Roman Empire of then and whatever power it is in these last days that's here. Yeah? So it's anti-God. That's that side of it. Yeah? We've seen them turning up, for example, with the communist regimes. Mm. Yeah, they are anti-God, or they were. Some of them have gone now, of course. But you got the idea. They opposed everything that belonged to God, and you still find it in parts of the world today. Yeah, but it's a world system that's developing. Mm. How do you manage to unite the world? Because they're all falling apart all the time and arguing with everybody. One of the suggestions in my mind I've come across before is this. The world is getting more and more crankified, yeah, and people will put up with anything for peace and quiet. And when someone comes along, when it's all chaotic, yeah, say, vote for me, I'll fix it for you. They'll all have him. Yeah. Anyway, that's a little bit further. Right, verse 8, yeah. Right. Verse 7 is rather sad one. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. Yeah, we found that in Daniel 7. He said that this fourth beast could fight against the believers and destroy. Yeah, so that's what he's doing there. You see, the church isn't entirely triumphant, does it seem? What's that sound?
Right.
It's rain, all right. Well, I'm just going to...
Yeah, it's on the roof.
I said it was going to rain, didn't it? Well, we were right then. Prophetic. Yeah. Okay, so what he's doing, see, is he's making war against the saints. So the believers are there. Yeah? They're called saints, yeah? And he's not only fighting them, but he's winning. It looks like, you know, the believers in the Lord are having a hard old time of it, yeah? But, this is the point, you see. It depends on how you look at it. If you think you're looking at the worldwide system of believers and they're not doing very well, you think, we're failing. But if you're looking on heaven's side of things and you see all these believers sticking it out, praising the Lord, and then finally getting to heaven because they've bumped them off, they're winning. Right? As General Booth put it, the church is the only organisation that never loses its members. Yeah. 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 Right. Okay. So, But it looks like, and this is what we're talking about, it looks like things aren't two and two good, yeah? Right, so, he's making war against them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language and nation. That's international. Yeah, we're talking big now. We're not talking just, you know, one little kingdom or whatever, yeah? All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Right? Isn't that interesting? All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life. Ah, well, there. So, you got to wait, you see, yeah? There's back to the Thessalonians passage. Remember, he says, because they refuse to believe the truth, they'll be deceived. They'll believe the lie. It's deception is what's going on, yeah? Serious deception.
You've got to be on the toes.
Exactly. That's why John's giving us the passage. Yeah. Believers, there's things out there that will con you and take you in. Yeah. Christian, stay true to Jesus. That's what it's about. So, if your name's in the book of life, that's all right, isn't it? That doesn't mean to say you're going to have it easy.
I've not been written.
Right. But, now then.
Those that
will be deceived will be.
Not written in
the The ones who are deceived will worship the beast. The ones that are not deceived have got the names written in the book of life.
Yeah.
Yes, their names have been written in the book of life if they're believers.
Yeah.
They're not in the book of life if they're not believers.
They're going the other way.
But the interesting thing about that is, right, the interesting thing is that, depends on how you translate this, I noticed that. One translation read it as written from the creation of the world in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain. That the book was written at the beginning. Yeah? Whereas other translations say it's the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Right? The result is the same, but I prefer the second version, that it's the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. Now, why is that odd? Because Jesus wasn't slain at the beginning of the world, was he?
No.
He was slain 2,000 years ago.
But the plan was in place.
The plan. Right, you've got it. So in effect, what we're saying is that God had got a plan to save us before we messed up. Isn't that good news? So glad, yes. Right, so the Lamb slain from the creation of the world. So the benefits of what Jesus has done spread back in time before his crucifixion and since his crucifixion. That's why the Old Testament believers are saved believers. Yeah? Because they believed in the Messiah even if they didn't know quite what it was all about. Yeah? Right, retrospective salvation, you'd call that one on that one, yeah? Okay, so this is the one for, as we've said, Antichrist reigning, causing mayhem, real problems, and so this is the message. I think this would apply, although as I say it's not the final fulfillment, but it would certainly apply to the believers in John's day, because they were getting hammered by the Romans, the Roman authority. And he says this: he who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. In other words, God's allowing these things to happen. Don't kick against him.
No.
Just keep trusting, persevere, keep going till the end. Yeah, and that was going to have to be true for some of our brothers and sisters in the days when John was writing. And it's still true today.
Yes.
Yeah. Faithful to Jesus, even to the end, yeah?
They were saying on, I think it was UCB radio, sort of Egypt and way, if a youngster is converted, then there's no problem. But if they're baptised, their parents kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is unreal, isn't it?
Well, it's a fact, yes, yeah. So, there's the challenge. There's the challenge, eh? It calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints. So that's we would call it political, military, set of power, Antichrist. Yeah? Ruling the nations, yeah? Throwing his weight around in that sense, yeah?
Dennis, I'm just going down the road.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Verse 11. He sees another beast coming out of the earth. Right. Right. Now, this beast comes out of where?
The earth.
What's the earth symbolizing then? Any thoughts? It's local.
It's not from heaven, so it's earth.
Well, yes, but the contrast is sea and earth. It's the nations is one. I think it's it means the Middle East. Yeah, it's Middle East. Yeah, that's where this Antichrist appears. Yeah, this beast. Yeah, comes out of the earth. Right, and he says he's got two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. This beast, I want to suggest, brothers and sisters, is a lot more dangerous than the first one.
Political.
Yeah, the first one's political. This one's religious.
Yeah.
He has two horns like a lamb. He looks kosher.
Yeah.
But he talks like the dragon. Yes. What he says isn't kosher. Yeah. That's important. He's called in other parts the false prophet.
Yeah.
This is the world's religious system headed up by Antichrist. Yeah. Right? And he is the substitute for Christ, not in the anti-God, right, but as the substitute for God. Mm-hmm. So we have an Antichrist who is a resister, but we have another Antichrist who is the con man, the fake. Mm-hmm. I'm the real Messiah. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening there. He talks like the dragon, yes, but he looks like the lamb. And that's more dangerous, I would suggest, for believers.
Yes.
Because he's not out to destroy your bodies, no, he's out to destroy your faith.
Your mind.
Right. And beware, this is the warning for all of us, beware of religious substitutes. And I'm telling you, they are about. All over the place. And the danger is that as Christians we can be taken in because they use all the same words that we do. They use, Matt Francis Schaeffer some years ago said this, they use God words, but they don't mean what we mean by them.
You
so I'll give you...
From the Middle East?
Sorry?
You said from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds very like Masons, doesn't it, what you're saying there?
Well, it could be, yes.
Necessarily.
Oh, the final version, yes.
Mohammed and...
from the Middle East. They say we believe in God, but their God's not my God.
No.
Right? And I'm not just talking about Islam here, I'm talking about
sex.
Anglican, I'm talking about standard Christianity, you know, official stuff like the Church of Rome in places, basically, they can use God words and they don't mean a slightly what we mean. So I'll give you, for example, the Bishop of Durham, David Jenkins, he's gone now, right? But he called the resurrection a juggling trick with a bag of bones. They use God words, they talk about forgiveness and all of this stuff, and they talk about Jesus, but he's not the same Jesus.
No, he's not from the Middle East.
But I'm saying, what John's warning in his time applies to us in our time, and will apply very much so with Antichrist at the end. Beware of fakes. They're about. Well, they become cults, yes. Yeah, but they can use God's stuff and take you in. They look like the lamb.
Other denominations.
Well, I'm sure there's believers in... Well, there's non-believers in denominations who can do that as well.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the Jehovah's Witness... I mean, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody's apostate apart from them.
Yeah.
You know? No, I'm sure God's got his people all over the place.
Yeah, sure.
You'd be surprised, in some pretty grotty places, believers can be found.
But what
I'm saying is, John's warning as Christian, don't be taken in by some people who use God phrases and they don't mean what we say.
Right.
So, for example, I've come across people will talk about Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Right? You read what they mean by Isaiah.
Mm.
Yeah? Do they mean the second Isaiah or the first Isaiah? Because they chopped Isaiah into two bits at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Right? I mean one Isaiah, the one that Jesus talked about.
Yes.
Yeah? Right? Oh, you talk about how God created the world, you know? They'll accept various theories. Yeah, but they won't accept what Genesis teaches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right. So, They're using God terms. We're talking to the Creator now, aren't we? Yes. But when they talk about creation, they don't mean creation what I mean.
No.
Yeah. So you see, what I'm getting at is they use God words.
Yes.
You need to. And what's the way to detect the difference?
Look it up in the Bible.
Check it against the Bible. Yes, check it against the Scriptures. That's one of the things. Pray about it. And let the Holy Spirit help you as well. Because He gives you, it's called discernment.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called what I call a spiritual nose. Spiritual. The Holy Spirit, you might not be able to say, there's something not right about that.
Yes.
Yeah, there's just something not right. I'm sure that's the Holy Spirit saying, beware.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, where were we? We were with the Antichrist, weren't we? He was doing a good job there. Deception, that's what it was. Yes, deception. Patience needed, right. So where have we got to? Verse 12, I've got that. Was it? Yes. He exercised authority on behalf of the first beast and made the inhabitants of the worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. So he is in the world religion, we call him Antichrist, is wanting you to worship Satan. That's the point. That's his intention, to get you there, right? And he produces the signs and the wonders, he says, because he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. So he's doing some pretty amazing demonstrations, right? And I don't think they're con. I think they're genuine, supernatural, occult things, I'd call them, just give you an example of that. You remember, you weren't there at the time, but Moses, when he went to confront Pharaoh, he was told to throw down his rod, and it turned into a snake, and then Pharaoh calls out his magicians. It's in Exodus 7 if you wanted to find it, but he gets his magicians out, and they do exactly the same thing, and all their rods turn into snakes. But Moses' rod swallowed all theirs up, so they've lost their rods now. So it's a prediction, you're going to lose, right? So they should have got the message early on. But they weren't playing. They did it. They made real snakes out of their sticks. So that's occult stuff. That's not normal science. Right, so he can do this. This is the Antichrist doing that. Right, he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. That sounds like Nebuchadnezzar again, doesn't it? He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that he could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. What about that? Well, how's he going to do that? How's he going to make an image to start talking and doing all that sort of stuff?
Is it only when they're together he has that power?
I don't know. I mean, I can imagine it happening now on a mechanical level. Artificial intelligence, a few robots, you can make some pretty convincing things, you know. So when they're getting more sophisticated, we're really going to get taken in if you're not careful.
They've got a robot now where she's part of the family, literally.
Everything. Well, this is setting up something to be a substitute for Satan, really. And the emperors did that in John's day. The emperors wanted worship. They called themselves gods.
Can you imagine how confusing that is for children, though?
Much of a robot.
She literally is a part of the family. And the kids are brought up as, you know, she's auntie so-and-so. She's not a real person.
So that reminds me, there was a cartoon, a joke thing Rebecca was sent by her friend that she thought Jean would appreciate. It's two Scotsmen, comedians, they go into a lift, and the lift is voice activated, right? And the lift says, where do you want to go? And they say, 11. I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please? Because their accents, they can't get the word right, you see. So they're stuck in this lift trying to say, 11, 11. He won't get it, you know. And he says, it's an American-sounding accent, you know. He says, go back to where you came from. And the other chap says, that's racist, you know. He says, you can't be racist to a lift. Anyway. That's something else. Anyway, robotics or whatever, I don't know. Or some very clever activity on their part, right? Okay, so we're getting towards the end. How are we doing? We're doing all right, yes. Right, I've got that. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Right. So basically what he's doing is he's closing up every option for you to do anything independent of him. It's called control.
Yes.
Yeah? And what he does is he puts a sign of ownership on you. Yes. That happened in the Roman days as well. Roman soldiers usually stamped their hands or yes. their foreheads or whatever. They were their legion, whatever it was. Yes. Yeah, their affiliation.
And they had nicks in their ears.
Right.
Typically slaves who were prepared to stay a slave remained at their
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
had a nick. What about the Holocaust thing?
It happened yeah. to the Jews. Nelson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Their numbers on.
Yeah. Yes, but that was that in one sense is different. That was an identification number yeah. to know who they were.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a number to tell you who you are.
No,
this is a number with made yeah. in Hong Kong on it, yeah. sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. saying who you belong to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's the exact counterpart of the mark that we have at the name of Jesus mm-hmm. written on us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Can't do nothing without it.
Yeah, but that's the point. Is yes, it's control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you are in their grip. Yeah? They can't buy or sell, and that's becoming the case, isn't it? Now you know that with our digital systems, they can control you. What type of mark is it? I don't know, but they've got your number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the barcode has got 666
in it. It has, yes. Yeah. They've made a lot of the barcode. That's got a number in, yes.
Yeah.
There are other things, chips and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't think it really is highly difficult to do any technology to get you to be shown up to who you belong to.
Mm.
Yeah. Just remember, you've got your own personal barcode. It's called DNA. Yeah. And nobody can copy that one. That's it, yeah. Right, anyway, okay, so it's control. Now then, this calls for wisdom. Right, it certainly does. Right, this calls
what
for wisdom.
Twins, then? Do they get the same DNA?
Yes, they have the same DNA.
Oh, they're the same.
Identical DNA.
Identical. Mm-hmm.
Yes, identical DNA. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Identical.
But, human beings aren't just your DNA, it's your environment as well. Yeah. And how you react to your environment, the things that have happened, will make you the individual that you are, even if you've got exactly the same DNA.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, this course of wisdom, if anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number. His number is 666. Mm. Now, you would not believe the mileage has been made after this verse. You would believe that?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's have a little think about it. It's a number. In other words, it's just a code to tell you who you belong to. And that's the first thing. You may be aware, I'm sure you are, that in Hebrew and in Greek, the letters aren't just letters, they are used as numbers.
Yeah.
So Alpha is 1, Beta is 2, and in Hebrew, Aleph is 1, and Bet is 2. Yeah.
Charlie's.
Right, well, and so on, yes. You've got the idea. Right, so the numbers are also letters. Yep. So, basically saying is, if you've got wisdom, you need a bit of... It's really saying it's doable, but it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. If anyone has insight, calculate the number of the beast. And he says it's a man's number. Well, you would not believe the number of people whose names have been converted to 666. Yeah? We've had various... Martin Luther even got his name converted to 666. Sorry?
Henry Kissinger
as well, right, yes. Well, the first one, and probably there are two possibles that are possible for John's day, one more likely than the other. One is that if you use the word Latin, yeah, you can turn that to 666. Yeah, and that was what Roman Catholicism did. It introduced Latin to make it a common language for everything, yeah? That's one. But the other is, if you get the name of Nero Caesar, or Caesar Nero, yeah, that does 666. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, he's a...
How does it... By using the Latin?
By using the letters. That's in Greek.
Greek.
Well, no, sorry, I'll get this right. The Hebrew letters for Nero,
right.
The Hebrew letters for Nero will make 666.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but why is John writing a code in Hebrew?
But the thing
he's written the words in Greek in the original.
Yes, but the thing about the scripture we're reading, it always threads back to Daniel.
Uh-huh.
So if Daniel's saying about an image showing itself not in army strength, but in the political arena, it comes out of the fourth beast again, Rome.
Yeah.
So that showed itself through the signing of the Treaty of Rome when we signed up for the common market.
All right, you're bringing it to this one.
Coming back to that.
Yeah.
So there's that thread of connection.
Well, there's always a European connection, but in Europe, you can get it.
Yeah. Now, I've looked up the Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
I've looked up the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah.
I've been on the streets of London with the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Talked to Israelis about certain words
that
I learned from a bloke called Barry Smith.
Right.
And the word computer and witchcraft always come to 666 in the Roman alphabet of our country.
Yes.
Because it's called the classic Roman.
So that
Roman idea fits in a little bit with a...
So you're using English to do it now.
Yeah. So because we were created on the sixth day, so A becomes 6, B becomes 12, and you add 6 through the Roman alphabet.
Yeah, okay, so you're getting the idea. We can do a lot of jiggling around to get the numbers.
It doesn't work in the Greek.
No.
It doesn't work in the Hebrew. But it works in the Roman.
Right. Now, let me offer you one more complication. All I'm saying is there have been so many possibilities of who 666 might be. Yeah. I don't think we've got any idea.
Yeah.
Right? I suspect we'll find out when we get there.
Yeah.
Right? That's one of the things.
Oh, yeah.
Let me offer you this as one really...
It is the number of man, though, isn't it?
That's one of the things that's added to that. It's a man's number, right?
Man's
someone's used this. It means it's not 777.
Well, yeah.
It's not perfect. Mathematics.
I said, the point is that the Antichrist, whoever he is, in the Hebrew, it will add up to 666. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Let me but you offer you just one more
sorry,
thought. One more thought, and it's this, and it's one I came across recently, is if you take the Greek letters, which is what is in the original, if you take the Greek letters and you look at the Greek letters, it's not necessarily the number, but if you look at it, it's exactly the same layout as it is, which says Muhammad's Allah is the God, our God is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. It's that sort of statement of association and belief in Islam. Right. So whether Islam's going to have a bit to throw in it as well, I do not know. Right. So I confess my ignorance on this one. We'll find out when we get there. But there's the two things to bear in mind is when the persecution's around, brothers and sisters, hold your head up and, you know, just get through it. Persevere. And the other is watch out for fakes. That's the point. Yeah.
There's a lot of room.
Yeah. I rest my case. Let's pray, Lord. Well, what can we say, Lord? Thank you that, as we read in that book in Daniel, Lord, after all the beasts, there's a king coming who's going to reign over all, Lord, and rule forever in justice and righteousness. As we read that the man of lawlessness sets himself up, but the Lord Jesus blows him over with the glory of his coming. Thank you, Lord. We belong in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, may we stay true to you, faithful, patient, and Lord, trusting. Grant us discernment where we see the fakes around, Lord. Help us to stay true and faithful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.